it's Laura Kay, and this is my very first podcast session on Hot Topics. And we're going to talk today about something that's currently going on. And I've got two ladies joining me today, each with their own opinion, and we're going to wrangle it out a little bit here. So I have Stacy and Cindy.
Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, Laura.
Hey, girls. Okay, so we are talking about the Royals. Now, this is something that all of us really are into anyway. I think I collect things from the Royals. I know, Cindy, you do too. Stacy, I know that you like to delve into kind of information about them, the history.
Yeah.
Okay, so now in British history, usually they keep the monarch's health a secret. I mean, think about it. The fact that actually they came out and said recently that King Charles III was diagnosed with cancer kind of shattered a longstanding tradition. We got to think back to, gosh, we could go clear back to Charles' grandfather, King George VI. And we didn't know he had lung cancer. The British people didn't know he had lung cancer before his death in 1952 at the age of 56. Some historians are actually claiming that even he didn't know that he was terminally ill. I don't know if I believe that, but anyway, that's what's being put out there. Okay, so we just heard recently he has cancer. We still don't know what type of cancer he has. What was your reaction, Stacy, when you first heard this in the media?
Well, it was not shocking. We obviously knew something was wrong with him. Mm-hmm. You know, and the fact that, you know, were they keeping it under wraps? Were they holding off before they released it? It just starts the debate of where's the transparency in a global leader of their health?
Yeah, where should that line be drawn?
Right.
Or undrawn, I guess, as the case may be. And then even though we heard he has cancer, we still don't know what type of cancer he has.
Right, yeah.
So they're coming out with it, but only so much.
Yeah, and right now, like with Lloyd Austin, the debate that's going on over here and the fact that he wasn't transparent about his health problems.
Right.
Being, you know, part of a leadership, I guess. And was he transparent to the powers be? I mean, President Biden didn't even know that that was a problem. And the 25th Amendment has the transfer of power, temporary transfer of power in case the president is sick or goes under anesthesia. That was a big debate. That actually, it was brought up after the assassination of JFK and the fact that through his presidency, he had concealed the fact that he had an adrenal syndrome and nobody knew about it. And so as he's going under anesthesia, who can actually be in power? So that's where the whole 25th Amendment came from. And, you know, President Reagan used it once when he had to do a procedure because he was going to be under anesthesia for more than a couple of hours.
Right.
And
right.
So at that point in time, there was no leader in charge. And he was the first one to invoke the 25th Amendment, the transfer of power. And it comes down to when he was shot. Remember all the debacle about when Reagan was shot and Alexander Haig gets up and says, I'm in charge, and nobody really knew who they were in charge of.
Right.
So, you know, I think that it is highly important that there's transparency when there's a global leader involved. Because a couple of hours, look at 9/11, what a couple of hours can do to a country.
Right.
And without someone in power, then there could be an issue.
Well, but unlike America, the UK has the hierarchy already kind of laid out. I mean, if something happened to King Charles III, we have Prince William stepping up to the plate.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and we have that here, too. But it's not an instant, okay, get him in. There are processes. And so to have a world leader with their health be transparent, then it can start to have those move forward types of issues.
Right, right. Well, Cindy, you might feel a little bit differently about this whole thing. We were doing a little bit of talking before this. And so tell me how you feel about this whole thing. Do you think they should be more or less transparent? And how do you think that's been going so far?
I think they've given out just the right amount of information about King Charles' diagnosis. Mm-hmm. You know, that he was being treated for an enlarged prostate and then shortly thereafter was diagnosed with cancer. So, you know, that makes the public speculate, was it the prostate that's caused the, you know, know, is there a prostate problem that's caused the cancer? Is that where the cancer is located? It created more questions, but I understand them not wanting to divulge too much personal information about their health because other countries or enemies of the UK might perceive it as weakness.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's
true.
Like,
now's our opportunity that we can do devious things because mm-hmm. the leader is down.
Right. And I think one thing they did say later is that it's not prostate cancer. They made sure they told you that, but they didn't tell you what kind of cancer it was. So they leave you speculating. Now, I think he seems to be, well, he's going against really his mother's mantra, which was never complain, never explain. I'm sure that through the years, Queen Elizabeth was sick. We never heard about it. They didn't want to show her as being weak. And honestly, think about her passing. We saw pictures of her in the media meeting with people and she looked fine. And the next day she was dead. And I found myself thinking, what is going on here? Was she really holding herself up in public because she felt that was her duty? Was she worse off than we thought she was? We still don't have a diagnosis on her death. They have on her death certificate that she died of old age and had mobility issues. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So I think they're shedding a bit more light on this than they have, but they're doing the same thing with Kate, with Princess Kate. Mm-hmm. They are telling you she's having issues, but they're not telling you what they are. And so I think almost you're creating more, what do I want to say, confusion than you would if you would just come out and tell everybody what's going on.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, the whole debate about transparency of health, I mean, take for instance, we go through it every day with Biden, and what is his health? What is his mental condition
mm-hmm.
right now? I mean, we all see him and we see him on TV and makes no sense whatsoever at times. And I mean, and Mitch McConnell, same thing.
We've had a lot of that recently.
So what if, I mean, just in a scenario that Queen Elizabeth hid the fact that she had dementia and, mm-hmm. you know, she is in control. So that's where my concern is, where, you know, health has to be a transparent to the public because these are our world leaders
mm-hmm.
and they have their finger on the button. And if there's an issue, say, for instance, Biden, I mean, I question what is his mental capacity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it terrifies you to think
not
that
to know.
He's not aware of surroundings and to make sound judgment or a sound decision. Is he capable of that right now?
Now, if we wouldn't see the effects of that in reality, in real time, which we have during some of Biden's speeches, do you think we should hear from someone that the president has memory issues or a touch of dementia?
Well, last week they deemed that he wasn't legally, he didn't break the law by putting all those documents in his house.
Mm-hmm.
But
he forgot they were there.
The Attorney General went out and said, we're just putting it up as he's an old man with memory problems.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
That was like literally staring us in the face.
Yes. And I think to know that the leader of your country is not 100%, but then you start to question some decisions that have been made.
Well, and the fact that it puts us in a vulnerable state.
Yes.
You know, I mean, knowing that we have a president whose capacities are not all there and all of these other world dictators are seeing this.
Right. Right.
And
so it should have been kept to, I guess it was hard in that case for him to keep it to himself because it was right out there in public in front of everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, of course, the Attorney General is no doctor, but I mean,
right.
He's just saying the obvious that we all are thinking also.
Right, right. Cindy, where are we at with this with you? Do you think, let's change this tack a little bit. Social media, everywhere now, right?
Yes.
Do you think that the uprising of social media, the usage of it, how it's everywhere, do you think that has changed the decisions that we make or the rights that we have to our privacy?
Oh, absolutely. Because people put everything on social media.
Yeah.
You know, things you don't want to know, things you don't want to see. And that applies high up in the different country governments.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's everybody.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
So So do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing?
You know, it depends. I question. There's too much ease of sharing information. Mm-hmm. You know, then I question, is it true? Because anybody can write anything about anything.
Fake news.
Right.
Yes. You
right.
know, last month, the Duchess of York, Fergie, posted on her Instagram that Princess Kate had malignant melanoma.
Wow. Okay. I didn't even know that.
Yes. You know, okay. Prior to the stomach surgery. So, and I'm thinking, well, a month later, I'm no doctor, but that doesn't seem to be something that would require abdominal surgery.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So then it's,
so it's got to be something else.
Again, it yeah, just leaves you with more questions.
And now here's my question. Did Princess Kate okay Fergie putting that news out there, or did she just choose to put it out there?
I can't imagine that she would.
So you've got family members or ex-family members in her case spilling things out on social media that perhaps should not have been there.
Which I'm sure wasn't the first time that Sarah Ferguson has done that.
Right. Right. Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. So, you know, now we're starting to get updates from Queen Camilla. She said last Thursday that he's doing well, King Charles III, after his cancer diagnosis. And she's thanking everybody for the support that he's received from the public. And I read in one story on the internet, and we know the internet never lies, that she was the one that told him that he should come out in public and tell everybody that he had a cancer diagnosis. Stacey, when I first brought that to you, I don't know that you believed that was true. What do you think about that?
Well, if she did, I mean, I commend her because mm-hmm. I think that she knows the big picture and about being transparent. And they serve the people.
Yes. And the people pay for their lifestyle.
They serve the people. Mm-hmm. And that is what they're born and bred to do. And so when they're not being transparent, then they're not serving the people. But for instance, you know, if they would be transparent like what Sarah Ferguson did, mm-hmm. then there wouldn't have been an issue with Sarah Ferguson.
Right.
I mean, if it was transparent and they were informing the public of what was going on, then Sarah Ferguson wouldn't be up to her old tricks.
But you know, the royals, they for hundreds of years, that's their mentality. Mm-hmm. They keep everything to themselves, be seen, not heard.
Yes.
Don't share their personal details. So, I mean, this is hundreds of years of their mindset.
Secrecy.
Yes.
Right. And if you look at it that way, then King Charles III has broken that tradition to a certain extent, maybe just enough to connect with the people.
Well, don't you think that Queen Elizabeth, she took, especially after Princess Diana's death, mm-hmm. about how she kind of broke traditions,
yes.
you know, that had been there for hundreds of years and knew that she was going to have to do this in order to have the loyalty of the people.
Right, but wasn't she forced to do that by Tony Blair?
Every evidence that I've seen is that she didn't want to do it.
Right.
She stayed away. Of course, she was chastised for staying away when Diana died. Although she said she was trying to take care of the grandchildren, you know, William and Harry, and in staying away because she was paying attention to them. But yes, you're right. She did start that. She was forced into it. And maybe King Charles III feels forced into it, maybe stepping on the toes of his mom because she did it. Then he has
well,
to do it.
And, you know, take, for instance, you know, how she broke tradition with Charles and Camilla.
Oh, yes.
You know?
Which so I wish she wouldn't have. But
I think that she knew that she was going to have to evolve as, you know, human nature. And we're all evolving. And I think that even if it wasn't her decision, but the house, their
right.
decision was to evolve along with it. And especially now, like you said, in this day and age with social media and everything like that,
right.
they are going to have to start evolving.
And you're right. I think perhaps the reason that Queen Elizabeth II was so successful in her reign is because she knew how to adjust, unlike some of the monarchs before her.
Well, yeah.
To social pressures and to things going on.
With the speech impediment.
Yes.
I mean, you know. Wow. I mean, who would have known? I didn't know. Did you know?
No.
I mean,
no. Did that, do you think that weakened his legacy, or did it make him more accessible to us?
Not recently, but it's been out for a while. But I think that, you know, with the King's speech and all mm-hmm. of that, I think it strengthened his legacy. I think that back then, if it would have come out that he had a speech impediment, I think it would have weakened him.
Do you think it's because we've changed how we look at people and their problems? We like them to be more humanized?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. But I think I can't imagine to be back mm-hmm. then, but mm-hmm. that would have been a total sign of a weak man.
Right.
But I think that how they approached it, the King's speech was an amazing movie. They humanized that as making him overcoming this great disability.
Right. Right.
And really, I guess,
he became victorious over his disability
and overcame mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. So, but I think, yeah, back then it would have completely weakened him and he would not have had success.
Did the world even know about that back then when it was happening?
No.
Right.
I mean, he had coaches and people helping him with his speeches and with his diction. So maybe they didn't.
Well, no. I mean, with the lack of just general media back then, it's not like it is now.
Right.
And I understand he probably felt like that was a weakness to him. Mm-hmm.
Sure. And people he wasn't confident to begin with. I don't think he wanted to be king to begin with. No. He only became that because his brother abdicated the throne for Wallace Simpson. Yeah. So, Cindy, question for you now. Does this cancer diagnosis personally make you feel more, what do I want to say, warm and fuzzy about King Charles III?
It does. I feel more empathetic to him, knowing that he's going through something difficult like this and you don't know what the outcome is going to be. When I first heard that he was diagnosed with cancer, I thought, oh no, this poor man waited over 70 years to become king. Now who knows how long it's going to last?
Right. And there are some people who, when he first was crowned, said he wasn't going to be the king for very long. And that the people actually wanted Prince William in instead of him. So I don't know, maybe this is going to shift the public perception of the family.
Yeah, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I think that we all knew. I mean, because look, you know, we knew that King Charles was aging along with his mother.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so that's an obvious that he wasn't going to be king he's not going to be king for very long. Of course, we know that he's not going to be king as long as his mother was queen.
Right.
But I think that it does give a human side. It does humanize King Charles. They were saying the other day that there has never been a royal that's had cancer.
Which is amazing because what is the stats? 1 in 3 people get cancer
is it they're stating that and there's been more that they've covered up, or is that an actual fact?
They've covered it up because the Queen's father had lung cancer.
Right.
That's right.
And nobody knew at the time.
I think we could go on and on about this conversation, and I love the different viewpoints. So thank you, Stacy and Cindy, for joining me in this conversation. Bottom line, he was very candid about being treated for an enlarged prostate, and he said he wanted to be open to encourage men to have the necessary examinations. But then once the cancer thing hit, he reverted back to really a traditional royal form, which is mostly mystery and secrecy. And that's been his style throughout his life, as it has been for most of the royals. But think about this, too. In an information age where we have lightning-fast social media and misinformation everywhere, perhaps the reason Charles came out at all was to prevent speculation over his condition. Even though I think we still have quite a bit of that over both his condition and Princess Kate's. Well, that's our conversation for today. What do you think about it? Do leaders and officials have the burden of having to share their personal information, most notably their health conditions, with the public? Should they or shouldn't they? How transparent do they need to be? Thanks for joining me for Chat 360 with Laura Kay, where we talk about the hot topics in the news. I'll see you at our next podcast.